Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 13 is where we're going to be today. Oops. Da-da-da. Oh, and if you need sermon notes in English or Ukrainian, you can scan the code and there'll be like a sermon outline. If you like that. And so Paul and it turns on its side today. So just shortly, Corinth is at this point in time a very large city. It's it becomes the, what do you call it, the capital of that region, Achaia. It has everything to offer, all sorts of gods, all sorts of things, emperor worship, all the sacred prostitution, all sorts of things. They also host every other year the Isthmian Games. This is like very sports and culture and pottery, all sorts of things they compete in. The Corinthians don't have I don't know if it was good or bad, they had a reputation of being living in luxury and sexual immorality. So there's this saying in the ancient world that if you live like Corinthians, then you'll be living that decadent and sexual immoral lifestyle. So that's kind of just setting up what Paul and Sosthenes are writing to. The church is founded in Acts 18. We can see that the Paul has been there to in 51 AD, and so he's writing around a few years later, 1 Corinthians. From Ephesus to the church, encourage them. Some things have been going on in the church. There's standing big division. It seems like they're using their gifts for selfish purposes instead of loving one another, and also understanding that Christ is the one that's the center of everything, and that's where they should be focusing. So Corinth is over there in the green part. And this is Paul's missionary journey. And so it's between Athens and Sparta. So even in even older than this, it was a very important a city. It's very fascinating. You can ask me more about it, but we will continue with today's text. We'll read it together, and then we'll see what the Lord will do. It's very interesting that the main focus is today the wisdom of the work of the Holy Spirit that would bring to light who Jesus is. So that's also what we're going to be reading. This is Paul speaking, and when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. I was with you in much weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in this demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So today, Paul continues what has been an issue and is an issue in the church, that it seems like they are being impacted, or they are, most people, because they live in a culture, they're impacted by the culture. So Greek philosophy, all schools of rhetoric, and all sorts of things. what is seen as wise? What is the people who bring and impart wisdom from the world? And it was a very fascinating study, but I didn't think it was too relevant, about all the schools of Greek thought that did that. And people were professionals in traveling from place to place. And some people that even did not understand Greek would in Rome sit and listen to people, even though they didn't understand, because it sounded so nice. The way they spoke, even though they had no idea what they talked about. So it's kind of in this environment, as well as also Roman tradition of great oratorical speaking, which I'm not doing right now, is convincing people with the attractiveness of your speech, as well as arguing logically and all different things, and philosophically. So they're speaking into that particular culture. I addressed a lot of that in our culture last week. Like, you know, our culture, everyone's an expert, especially if you're online, even though people may have no idea what they're talking about. And so it's not like this is totally foreign to us. We also live in a world where everyone wants to impart their truth. And so we talked last time about sometimes those truths are at really folly and has nothing to do with what God says is true. So they're in this, in our culture, even then, in a understanding of what is the, what are we believing in and why are we believing it? And then Paul actually just does something that is very opposite. He says, remember when I was with you guys. And so he's getting them to remember back a couple of years when he came there. And he was nothing like that. Like, the accusations against Paul is now he's not very good at speaking. He's timid. He's like not really that impressive. And he now, instead of competing, you know, against those orators and those things, he says, but that's nothing like how I was with you. I was actually full of fear. I was trembling. It was a difficult time. And I decided that I wouldn't come off as those people. I would trust that preaching Christ and Him crucified would be enough. That you wouldn't believe me because I sounded well or looked well, or spoke in a rhythmic, nice voice, and you wouldn't even understand, but you will be convinced to follow me because of my eloquence. So he says, I did the opposite. I didn't look amazing. I was afraid, and I was weak. Even so weak that God has to meet him at night. If you remember back in our series in Acts, it's been a long time, so if you don't, it's okay. Paul's in Corinth. He's been chased out of lots of other places and around the on his missionary trip. So what Paul's saying is true. God comes to Paul at night. and calms him and tries to soothe him and say, don't be afraid. He had just said to the Corinthians, I was afraid. And God comes and meets him and says, don't be afraid, but go on speaking. Don't be silent. I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm, for I have many in this city that are my people. Encouraged by that, Paul stays there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. But when Paul comes there, he's been chased out of many places. He's been hurt many times. He goes into a new kind of mixed, hostile audience, afraid and weak. God meets him and encourages him. And he speaks. What does he speak? Well, he speaks with not the world's wisdom, but it demonstrates. And he's telling them, remember what I looked like. I looked totally opposite all the people who are worried about what they look like, and they have to come off as strong and very eloquent. I was weak, and I feared and trembled. This was what I was like. So it wasn't my outward appearance that made you believe in God. It was the Spirit of God that helped you understand who Jesus was. It was the call of God through the Spirit of God that opened your eyes to see it was not me and my skill that taught you. It was the Spirit and the power that comes with that. And why is that? Well, it's because you should not trust in my weakness, and you should not trust in a man. You should trust in that God in his wisdom and his power by the Holy Spirit has opened up your eyes, because you got to understand who Jesus was. And it wasn't because of my eloquence, but it was because of the power and wisdom of God. That's why you believed. And so he's actually just calling to remembrance. What was it that brought you to Jesus? What was it that drew you in? Then why are you now so concerned about people? So because he's still continuing in the address that he had earlier, that they were fracturing into, I follow Paul, I follow Peter, I follow Apollos. And so, why are you now doing that if it was the Spirit of God who opened your eyes to see Jesus? Then why are you not following that instead of fracturing into preferences and people, relationships of people? Because it was the power of God and the wisdom of God. Not someone who had no fear of anything and was just really good at articulating things and spoke fancy words of beautiful oratory skills and rhythm. No, it was the opposite. So you wouldn't trust in that, but you would actually trust in the Spirit and the power of God. So encouraging them this way, Paul goes on. And talks to them and begins to unpack the mystery of God. If you read the Gospel of Mark, there is this sense of there's a Christ mystery. You should come and see who he is. It's oftentimes Paul, even more than other places, Jesus don't want people to know. He says, don't continue to witness about me. There's that a lot of people have this veil over them. But the whole gospel is written so that you would actually draw near and figure out who he is. So there's this mystery of Christ. There's this mystery, there's this hidden knowledge. Now, it's not Gnosticism or something else where it's just this strange knowledge. No, it's that God actually had a plan. And that mystery was what we are getting unpacked in the New Testament, in which just what the mystery that the prophets were saying would come, that the Christ would come. Now, the hidden mystery that the leaders of the world, as we would see, don't understand is that Christ comes as a suffering servant. It's a mystery, and we talked about last week, the Jews stumbled over him. He was a cornerstone. They just stumble over, and the Greeks and the Gentiles, they just don't understand, like, why is he's your God and he's crucified? How does that make we don't understand that. But it is the plan that God had, a secret and hidden wisdom. And we know, like from last time, that God's wisdom is Jesus. So you unpack it, as Paul is unpacking and talking to them about, as he's sharing, and that the Corinthians are responding to God, they understand who Jesus is. So this is the one that is not the wisdom of man, but it is the wisdom of God. This is what he's saying there. We do impart wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of the world. Because so those people are doomed to pass away. But it's a hidden wisdom of God that God had decreed or predestined before the ages began. And then he says, and he invites them in and says, for our glory, that we might actually be reconciled to God and we could be joined to God and to God's family, is for our glory. Reminding them about who they are in Christ. So it's not the wisdom of the world, but it's God's wisdom that he had a plan to reconcile a people to himself through his son. Now, a lot of people didn't understand, and he's addressing this as well, the rules of this age, their age, and to some extent our age as well, like everyone who rejects who Jesus is, they don't see his crucifixion as anything. For them, particularly at that time, they didn't see it. And that was like, sometimes people can struggle with the passages like Isaiah. It's like, "They, I blinded their eyes so they would not turn." Well, here, why didn't the disciples just understand who's going to die? Well, in some sense, it was veiled for everyone. It was a mystery that was only being, even though Jesus talked openly about it, it was just still veiled. They didn't understand until his resurrection. And he asked them again, and highly likely not even totally until the Holy Spirit fills them to understand this mystery that God had this plan all along to reconcile people back to himself through the life and death and the resurrection of his son Jesus. And if they would have understood this mystery, of course they would not have killed Jesus, as he here calls the Lord of Glory. I just read so fast over it. It wasn't until I read someone talked about that. Just think about that again. The Lord of Glory. The one who is Master and Lord over all glory. Just thinking about that, the title Paul there does, and then in the same sentence, that Lord of Glory was crucified. That was the hidden and sacred wisdom of God. And none of us understood. It was all veiled for us. It wasn't until when? Well, this is what Paul actually is talking about. It was not, none of us and none of them saw until the Holy Spirit of God opened up our eyes that we might be able to see who Christ is. Looking at this, these two verses here, it's very interesting to see how what God has prepared for those who love Him was revealed through the Spirit. And so God has prepared Jesus. So we have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Spirit. And we can see how God in all of who God is intricately knows this mystery of what is going to happen. No one understood it. Nobody heard it. Nobody had imagined it. But God had prepared Jesus to those who love Him. And God has done that. Jesus was sent. And now the Holy Spirit is the one that opens our eyes and our hearts and minds to understand who God is. Understand who Jesus is and what He's done. And he goes on and talks more about what the Spirit does and encourages us to know that the work of the Spirit is that the Spirit knows everything about God. And so therefore, when the Corinthians have been taught by Paul, they can believe that when they hear the Spirit teaching in them, they actually get to know who God is, God the Father is, even to the depth of who God is. So there's this great encouragement also as we sometimes pray, like, help us understand you more, help us. Well, the Spirit is able to do that. And so He's encouraging them that when I was with you, this mystery that nobody has seen was revealed and prepared for those who love Him. So if you love God, you love Jesus, and you know Him, then that was revealed through the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who knows God and can reveal God to us and can reveal who Jesus is, as Jesus reveals who the Father is. So it's a revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God reveals His glory through the work of the Holy Spirit that searches everyone of who, all the depths of who God is. And only God Himself can do that. And again, it means that we can know the depth of who God is as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. As it reveals us, as the first thing is that the Holy Spirit reveals to us this mystery, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ crucified. As Paul was saying in the beginning, I only want to be known for preaching Jesus and Him crucified. Now, Paul talks about lots of other things in other letters, but in this particular, he focuses this thing out because of all the other things that are going on. They're putting a hope and faith and trust in other things, or at least they're drawn to those things. He says, this is the thing I want you to understand, this mystery of Christ, how He lived and how He died, and that it's the Holy Spirit that reveals those things to you, that you can actually know God in the depths as He has revealed Himself in Jesus, and the Spirit can open your eyes to see those things, to actually know and love God. The Spirit we have, this is the next verse. He talks about it, and it's interesting to read Paul because a lot of the themes are not just in one letter. He encourages the multiple churches and different focuses. And here he says, well, the Spirit that you have is not from the world. Here he's contrasting the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world. So he says, it's not the Spirit of the world, it's the Spirit of God that that you have received. And so he's really, as he saw them become believers, he believes that they have received the Holy Spirit, that they have seen and known who Jesus is, and that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to see. And he also believed that they have got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they would, as he talked about a little bit in the beginning, like they have everything they need. They have all they need in Christ. And now he's also saying, you have all you need that. That you might understand the things freely given to us by God. That the Holy Spirit can reveal those things that you have been given by God. All this is an encouragement that they've kind of started focusing on all the things, and he's trying to draw them back to what is true. Next week, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be not spiritual? What does it mean to the natural person? What does it mean to be a natural person? What does it mean to be a spiritual person? And we're going to do it next time because I think it fits with the next part as well. But here he's encouraging them deeply and remind them of what they've experienced, of how Paul came opposite the ones that look fancy and speak fancy. He was afraid and fearful and weak and didn't speak well. But the Holy Spirit of God opened up their eyes to see who Jesus was. And now they were given this Spirit that they might see and know who God is. All believers that believe in Jesus Christ will get the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about it in another place. Says it's a down payment that we know we are God's, waiting for Jesus to come back. The one who helps us still every day understand God more and more, understand Christ more and more, understand who we are made to be in Christ. The one who can reveal day to day what we are to do. How do I interact with my world today? The Holy Spirit is a great gift inside of us. It's the presence of the very God that we know and love. So at the end, I was like, okay, so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for you? Paul's talking to them, and he's saying, encouraging them from the beginning, like, remember, you didn't get to know because of my fancy speech and the things, I was actually weak and all that. But you actually experienced the power of God. You experienced that Christ was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, that you could see. And he's drawing them back to know that. What does that mean for us and for you? We can ask ourselves, what do I boast in? What do I trust in? Is it people, myself, my wisdom? Or is that God, in his wisdom, had a plan to bring a people to himself by his son, Jesus? The one who is described as the mystery, the one who is true wisdom. And that plan we're only able to see as God's Spirit opens our eyes to see. Opens our eyes to understand who Jesus is and why he came. So how to respond to Paul's encouragements? God's word laying us open, somebody said that, like, we are reading the Bible, but is the Bible reading us? And this says, what is the Holy Spirit doing as we're reading this? Opening our eyes to see Jesus clearer, to turn from our own wisdom and to not trust in things, but trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that it also does something else. I pray that it in us raises up a massive amount of praise to God. For the mystery has been revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. That we can see God's wisdom in this. We can see that God has actually worked through the Holy Spirit that we might see Jesus Christ. And that would, in our daily lives, bring a joy to us, knowing that we can trust in God's power and in God's wisdom, and that He has revealed it to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we can respond with praise to God, that we can remember that the wisdom of this world crucified Christ, the Lord of glory. But we can remember that God did that to glorify Himself and bring us into glory for His praise and for our good. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your kindness and goodness towards us. Thank You, Jesus, for revealing the Father to us. Holy Spirit, thank You. By your power, You open up our eyes to be able to see who Jesus is, to see who God's mystery is. God, thank You for Your love for us. Jesus, thank You for Your love for the Father and for us. You make a way for us to be reconciled to God, adopted in Your family. God, Holy Spirit, thank You for opening our eyes to see. Lord, I pray You create a heart of praise and joy in what You've done. Make it so big that it overrides what's around us. Help it grow. Working us daily to see more and more of who You are. So we thank You for all You've done in all of us, and we pray You continue to do it more. Use us, help us, send us, help us to not trust in our own abilities, but in Your power and strength as we share who You are. May You, by Your power and Your word, encourage people around us to see who You are. So Lord, send Your Holy Spirit, and with power, help us to speak the words of life, the mystery of Your Son, Jesus. And we pray You be honored and glorified as we bring testimony about Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh. I do this often. I forgot. This is this guy. So this guy, he just reminds people about that the highest wisdom is actually Jesus Christ crucified. What was not seen as anything from the world was actually what is the highest wisdom, because it was God's plan. All right, we will now celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And we're acting out this mystery. There's a stumbling block to the Jews, the Greeks and the other Gentiles didn't understand it. It was veiled for all until God revealed it. So we'll celebrate Jesus' death on the cross, His broken body and His shed blood. And this is his passage is from later in the letter, where Paul actually has to strongly correct them. They're not taking care of each other. They are, some are getting drunk, some are eating all the food, and the poor don't get anything. So it's actually a section of correcting their relationship to one another. So as we draw near, it's also a time where we celebrate what Christ has done. We look at our relationship with God, and we look at our relationship with people, and examine ourselves. How is our relationship with God and with people? Do I actually look out for my brothers and sisters, or do I eat all the food or get drunk so that other people don't get anything? So Paul writes, and I'll turn, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So as we do this and participate in this, when we've examined ourselves, it's a way for us to show what Christ has done until he comes back. Therefore, we would also ask that you only participate if you actually believe in Jesus and he's Lord, your Lord, and Savior. If not, then just pray and ask that he will reveal himself through his Holy Spirit. The way we do it here is that when you're ready, you take a piece of bread and dip it into the cup. I will pray, and then